Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Hallelujah.
One Sunday morning, a pastor was encouraging his congregation to begin tithing by giving their 10%. He said, give your 10% and watch God open the windows of heaven. He declared it. From the back of the room, a church member muttered, I think a tithe should only be 5%. Nope, said the pastor, God doesn't do windows for 5%.
A little humor on a
I love it.
Yay.
In understanding the principle of tithing, it becomes more clear who your God really is.
Mm.
A look at your check register will reveal whom you worship and who comes first in your life. God sets the plan, and tithing is, well, it's a part of his plan, so that we may prosper and have enough money to do the things we need to do for the kingdom, for our family. In fact, God wants us not to have just enough, but more than enough. However, we need to understand that tithing is an act of worship and displays where our true devotion lies. Walking in God's biblical economic system has its rewards, but it also has conditions. If you want to receive God's very best and be blessed in your finances, you must make him your first priority. You cannot make a deal with God that he will pay you next month or next bonus when your bills are paid off. You can't make that kind of promise to him. If you want to enjoy the full blessing, begin to give God 10% of all you have and watch the windows of heaven open on your behalf.
Hallelujah.
Now, it's easy to cry out to God when financial trouble comes, lurking around the corners of your life. Suddenly, all focus is directed toward heaven, and you cry out to God for help and divine intervention. It seems as if everything else in life is put on hold while you seek God for an answer out of your dilemma.
In other words, he's your spare tire, right?
That's exactly right, babe.
As God answers and the pressures subside, somehow the focus shifts back to the regular day-to-day activity. But the pages of the Bible are not turning as fast. The TV blots out the daily grind. And unfortunately, many begin to resume the financial pattern that got them into trouble in the first place. It's no wonder that God in his wisdom continually reminds us through scripture to keep our eyes on him at all times. And I mean, paying attention to what he says and doing it.
Amen.
If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, our spending habits will reflect that devotion to God. In Exodus, we see God reminding the children of Israel to keep their focus on him. Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
It's amazing that he would have to remind these people to focus on him. They'd just been delivered from slavery. They'd been set free. They had witnessed God's miraculous power to provide for their needs. They had seen supernatural intervention on their behalf. In fact, as they left for their journey, not only did they leave free from slavery, but also with gold, silver, jewels, and the wealth of the wicked who had held them captive.
Mm.
Interesting to think, there were no malls or jewelry stores in the desert. No place to spend their money on trivial things. So what was this wealth for? It was to be used to make an altar and worship God.
Matthew 6:33. It should be our go-to scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
Now, I'm going to make what may seem at first as a strange statement. Are you ready? Your finances will bring the leader out in you. Let me say that again. Your finances will bring the leader out in you. God has called you to leadership. You're a mighty person of valor and strength. There's a strong someone inside of you just waiting to show up and be counted as a real leader for God. Regardless of your race, color, or creed, God has called you to lead, feed, and seed. I like that.
Yeah, you go, buddy.
To see another and meet the need, to love enough to intercede. Oh, I need to say that again. God has called you to lead, feed, and seed, to see another and meet the need, to love enough to intercede. You feel like a leader, or that you just blend in with most people, feeling a little empty, that life has a little meaning. The fact that God has called you to make a difference in this world means that the lack of doing so leaves you unfulfilled and listless, like there's more to life than you're experiencing at the moment, because there is.
You know, your finances play a big part in your leadership. As you follow God's financial plan, you notice I said God's financial plan, you'll begin to have more left over by the end of the month than just bills. Soon, you're going to have a lot more money left over at the end of the month, and you're going to be able to give to that person beside you that may be struggling. You can reach into your pocket at the very moment a need arises and be able to share your wealth. That is true fulfillment and joy. That's experiencing the joy. It is good to remember what it says and means, do unto others. Luke 6:38, love it. Luke 6:38, New International Version says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Successful people know to never limit the blessing flow of God and to be always about His plan for their lives. There's nothing wrong with figuring your future, making a plan, and working the plan if, in fact, God is encouraging you to do that plan. Yet it's important to remember His ways are not our ways. As we believe God for the fulfillment of His promises in our lives and for our families, we need to keep our eyes focused on His word. As easily as it may be, don't turn to scheming and manipulating a situation to try and get God to work things out according to what you can see. Our eyes cannot see, our minds cannot fathom the vastness of God and His amazing ability to bring out so much more than we could possibly think or ask. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's word will not come back void. In fact, He is bound by His word, as He says it will never be unfulfilled. So it's great reassurance and encouragement to read and often quote the scriptural examples of God's word being fulfilled time and time again.
You know, honey, Genesis 14 and 15 tell of the promise God made to Abram.
That's right.
We talked about it on yesterday's call to
That's
some
right.
extent. As Abram was faithful to God, God gave Abram the desires of his heart. Abram wanted a son, a child, and true to how God does things, not only did God give Abram the promise of a child, but He also told him that he'd be the father of many nations.
In Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, God took him outside, remember? We just talked about it, and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then He said to him, so shall your offspring be. I'm sure that Abram couldn't even begin to realize the scope of having descendants as many as the stars in heaven and even the sand on the seashore.
You know, that's an amazing scripture, baby.
It is.
God gave him, just meditating, God gave him so much more than his own mind could dream of, more than Abram ever realized in his lifetime. God's blessings span the generations long after you're gone. If we're obedient to God, His blessings to our generations will go long after we're gone. Think about that. But we can't limit God. If we don't limit God, He will not limit His blessings in our lives.
I think we need to remember, too, remember this. All of us need to remember this, that there are times that Abraham were he was despondent and discouraged, and we will be, too. But if we hang in there, God will bless us beyond measure.
Honey, you remember that in meetings around the world, many times I'd start off a seminar by holding a $100 bill. I'd say, what is this? The people will respond, it's a $100 bill. I'd crumple the $100 bill up and ask again, what is this? People will respond by saying, it's still a $100 bill. I'd throw that $100 bill on the floor and stomp it. Then picking it up, I would ask, what was it? The answer was, it's still a $100 bill. As I straightened out the $100 bill, I would then say, this $100 bill has been crumpled up, thrown down, and stomped on. But the value didn't decrease. It still has value as a $100 bill. And then I would tell the folks, even though you may have been or feel like you've been crumpled up, thrown down, and stomped on, you're still valuable in God's sight.
Hallelujah. One of my favorite illustrations of yours.
You're still priceless.
Amen.
Your worth doesn't come in what you've been through or where you are right now, but in who you are.
Amen.
If you feel like you've been through some difficult financial times and taken on the feeling that you can never regain your former financial grant, then it's time to get rid of that lie, because that's what it is, a lie. The enemy has brought that deception before you. Don't you choose to believe it. And if you have, choose again. God is the God of the impossible.
Amen.
He can turn your financial life around in a heartbeat.
Hallelujah.
Just like that. Before Merrill Lynch, God was giving sound advice for you to live by. He doesn't give up on you because you made a mistake. You're valuable to God and to His plan here on planet Earth. You're a part of that plan regardless of your financial past.
And even after Merrill Lynch, he's still giving, you know,
absolutely,
the financial wisdom that you need. In Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, Ezekiel 36, 26, 27, New Living Translation, says, I will take away your stubborn heart and give you a new heart and a desire to be faithful. You will have only pure thoughts because I will put my spirit in you and make you eager to obey my laws and teachings. Hallelujah.
Now you know what successful people know about money. But we want to tell you, it's not just enough to know. It's what you do, but what you know that'll bring you to a whole new level, a whole new level. And that's where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. While you're there, check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.